Lord, we thank you tonight. We thank you that you are near us. You are with us. And we thank you for calling us into the fellowship of your Son. Truly, our fellowship tonight is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, and with one another. Lord, we ask that you would continue to flow in this meeting. Lord, you have the preeminence within every heart here tonight. And you have the preeminence within all of us. Amen. We want you to flow tonight unto your own glory. Amen. We want you to be pleased. We want you to be satisfied. Amen. And we just tell you, Lord, we love you. Amen. Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Tonight and tomorrow, we turn our attention to the writings of John. In the earlier sessions, we were in Philippians, written by Paul. Tonight, in this message, which I think, do you have the copy entitled Messages 3 and 4? No? Messages 3 and 4. And this is focusing on mostly 1 John, although we mentioned 2 and 3 John a bit. And we will be touching in this book the essence or the central point in this book, which is fellowship. Fellowship. Fellowship, and we'll see in the outline some more expanded definitions of what is fellowship, but fellowship in a simple way is just the flowing, the moving of the eternal life within us. Saints, I hope we would treasure the sweet flow of life. Amen. I believe tonight we all have this flow of life. Amen. We need to treasure the flow. We need to pay attention to the flow. We need to give preeminence to the flow. And we need to make sure nothing interrupts the flow. Amen. You know, John, he has three sets of books. These are the writings of John. First, there's the gospel. Then there are the epistles, right? And the three epistles. And his revelation, right? You could say that the gospel of John, is a book on life. The gospel of John simply is a book on life. It's also been said it's a book of life and building. Life and building. We see this brought out in John chapter 2 by the miracles that the Lord did there of turning the water into wine, right? The water into wine. That shows that actually he turns death into life. Death into life. And then in the remainder of the book, case after case after case, touching this kind of person, that kind of person. Actually, all of them are his entering into this person's life and turning death into life. But then, in chapter 2 also, we have this account of the Lord going into the temple, right? Going into the temple and cleansing the temple. And there's a verse that says that they were impressed by this. Actually, after his resurrection, they remembered this, and they were impressed by this verse: "The zeal of your house has devoured me." The zeal of your house. So even in such a book on life, the goal is not just life, but life is for God's house. Life is for God's building. And then eventually, before the Lord goes to the cross, he talks to us about the desire in his heart for the house of the Father. And he even talks about going to prepare a place in his house. We used to think, many of us, that was related to something far away and something in the future. But we've come to know, actually, it's something very present, very present. We can be in God's house right now as an abode in his house, and we should be today in the church. So life in building, life in building. His revelation, the book of Revelation, which actually we'll be coming to in December, in our next semi-annual training, continuing this line on experiencing, enjoying, and expressing Christ, totally dedicated to the book of Revelation, right? You could also say Revelation, which is a book of consummation, but it's the consummation of life and building. Even in the final two chapters, of course, that's the ultimate consummation, right? God's goal, the New Jerusalem. That is a structure, right? That is a structure, life and building. You can see this here. You can see this. Of course, it's a built-up city. It's a city built up with all those precious minerals, which implies the triune God. But in the center of this city, what do you find there? Well, firstly, a throne. But out from the throne, what do you see? A river. The river of water of life. This is that flow that reaches the entire city to supply that city, not only with the water, but it brings the tree. The tree of life grows along the river. That, you could say, New Jerusalem is a city of life. But what carries the life? What conveys the life to every part of the city? It's this flow, this river. So you see the Gospel of John, you see the consummation, the revelation of John. In between, you have the epistles. And the key point in the longest epistle, you know, 1 John has 5 chapters, 2 John just 1, 3 John 1. The key point in this larger epistle is just this: fellowship. Fellowship. This fellowship is that flow in the New Jerusalem. It started before. You know, in the Gospels, we have these two accounts. The Lord Jesus meets this woman, thirsty woman. We call her the Samaritan woman. In his talk with her, he tells her this: if you drink of the water that I will give you, you will have what? A spring of water gushing up inside of you. What is that? That's the fellowship of this life. It begins in a personal way. It begins in a personal way. Then that's in John 4. In John 7, at that feast, you remember, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, if anyone, what? Thirsts, let him come to me. That's another place where he says, come to me. And if you do come, what happens to you? What happens to you? Out of your innermost being will what? Flow! Rivers! Actually, not just one. Rivers of living water. It begins in such a personal way. In such a personal way. The river has to be within us. Springing. But what's the destination of that river? New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. You know, I appreciate, Brother David pointed out just now the hymn we were singing. It's very interesting. 841 in English. 841. It's in the section on the church, the building. But the first, how many there are? There are what? Six stanzas, right? Six stanzas. And very interesting, the first 5 stanzas are all personal. They're all personal. Actually, that in itself shows us something. You know, the title of this message is The Fellowship of the Eternal Life, the Reality of Living in the Body of Christ. And I hope that we could be impressed with this. The reality of the body is in this flow. When we don't have this flow, many things are not real to us. Many things are not satisfying to us. We need to be in this flow. Amen. We need to have this flow within us. From the hymn, we can see, how does God get the building? He gets the building by every one of us in our daily life, in our home life, in our work life, paying attention to that flow of life. When each of us pays attention to that flow of life, and actually, we don't even need to come together yet. We're already in the reality of the body of Christ. You can be there, and it seems you're by yourself, but there, you're in the reality of the body. The body is being built there. Oh, then we come together. Maybe on the Lord's Day, you've been in the flow. You've been in the flow. We've all been in the flow. What a rich outpouring that is when we're all together. But imagine we come together on the Lord's Day and you haven't paid attention to the flow. You haven't paid attention to the flow. I haven't paid attention to the flow in my daily life. The spouses haven't paid attention to the flow. Oh, then we come together. Will there be the flowing? Not so much. If there is, not so rich. Do you see, saints? There's something here for our personal life. But it's for the corporate life. For the corporate life. So, 1 John, especially, is on this matter of the fellowship. Actually, this matter of the fellowship, the flow of life, will take us from the Gospels to the consummation in the New Jerusalem. Everything in this age, today, of the church life depends on the fellowship of this life. We have to pay attention to this flow of life within us. Okay, how about we just start looking at the outline. Romans 1. We can read this together. John's epistles, especially his first epistle, of the fellowship of the eternal life. Saints, this really is a mystery. Can you imagine? You are sitting there, a typical human being. And God, the triune God, who is the creator, but who passed through a process, he's moving in your being right now. Think about it. Not just here in the meeting. During the week, we go to work. We go to school. A little junior higher, a 13-year-old sister, she's there in her class, in her middle school. You call it that? Middle school? Junior high? What do you call it? Middle school. She's there in her middle school. Can you imagine? She's sitting there amidst all those students. But in her, the triune God is flowing. Isn't this mysterious? Isn't this amazing? So that she's with her friends, and she's quite normal, and she has a good time, and they laugh together. But then one of the friends says one thing, and suddenly, in our little sister, something feels, I don't like that. I don't like that. Don't laugh at that. Have you never had that kind of feeling? You're there with your coworkers and everything's okay, and then all of a sudden, and a little levity, then it goes just a little bit too far. Little bit too far. Everyone laughs. Inside, the Lord says, don't laugh at that. Have you never experienced that? What is that? That's amazing. That is the triune God flowing in your being. I've experienced this since I was a little boy. I would be astonished. Lord, wait a minute. You are, I didn't know economy yet. I learned the word God's economy when I was 14. When I was 12 and a half, I would be with my friends, then a little something. And I said, Lord, why do you bother this little boy? You are the master of the whole universe. Don't you have like other things to take care of? And you are here with me, bothering me, and I can't have fun with my friends. Why can't I be like them? I want to be like them sometimes. Oh, but inside, there's something going, you can't be like them. You're not like them. You can be like them if you give God to them. Then you can be like them. Oh, little something going on. What is that? That's the flow of life. That's the flow of life. Flowing something in, and we'll see later, also flowing something out. Something is discharged. Something is discharged from us. Anyway, we'll see. What a mystery. What a wonderful mystery. A says, fellowship is the flow of the eternal life within all the believers, illustrated by the flow of the water of life in the New Jerusalem, the reality of the body of Christ. The church life in actuality is the flow of the Lord Jesus within us. And this flowing one must have the preeminence within us. Amen. Two things I want to touch in this point. Please notice this phrase, illustrated by the flow of the water of life in the New Jerusalem. The reality of the body of Christ, the church, is in actuality is the flow of the Lord Jesus within us. Saints, the reality of the church, of the church life, is that flow. Amen. It's that flow. Amen. When we don't have that flow, we're not in the reality of the church life. We might be with the brothers. We might be even coordinating together. Maybe we have a service group talking about the property, the lawns, the maintenance of the meeting hall. But at a certain point, we're talking some practical things. And then I give some suggestion. And the brothers don't go along with it. Then I start insisting because this is right. Brothers, don't you know? This is my field in work. And so I bring in something and I start insisting. When I start to insist, even I think about starting to insist, what happens? The flow stops. The flow stops. If I keep going, brothers, there's no building there. There's no building because there's no flow. I violated the flow of life. Oh, saints, we're going to touch as we go along. What hinders the flow of life? What stops the flow of life? One thing is disobedience. Disobedience. The flow says no and I say go. Or the flow says go and I say no. When we don't obey the flow right away. He doesn't fight us. He doesn't fight us. He doesn't, from the sky, a lightning bolt. Shh, stop. No, he doesn't do that outwardly. What does he do? Nothing. He just becomes quiet sometimes. And we don't have his living presence. The reality is in the flow. The reality is in the flow. Saints, if we don't have that flow, the church life is very possible, can become quite stale to us, quite old. Quite routine. To maintain the freshness of the vision of the church, we need to pay attention to the flow. You know, some, after going on in the church life, I think sooner or later, just about everyone faces a kind of crisis where you're going on in the church life and it was so good, but something happened. Something changed. If you're not careful, we've seen some just lose heart. Some just not become negative, complaining about the elders or complaining about the rigors or the schedule of the church. Just not negative, just not much heart. Not much heart. And then eventually fade away a little bit. Sometimes stop meeting altogether. This afternoon, we talked about the next generation. This happens with some of our children, some of our teenagers as they become young adults. The church life was not what it once was to them. Well, with some of them, actually, we have to be careful. It's very possible we never genuinely help them to enjoy this flow of life. And they just went along with the program. Sometimes to please us. Sometimes to please us. Because they like the saints. They like the church life. But if there's no flow within them, if there's no reality, you can't maintain that. You can't maintain that. We all need to touch the genuine flow of life. But saints, suppose someone, even we feel, oh, you know, it's like this. Maybe you're at work. Maybe you're at work. And it's Tuesday. I don't know. Do you have your prayer meetings? Tuesday? Wednesday? Wednesday. Okay, here it's Wednesday. Okay, suppose it's Wednesday. I experienced this working in downtown Manhattan. And it's Tuesday. And then feeling, oh, I'm a little tired. I have a good excuse not to go to the meeting tonight. But somehow, I just go straight to the meeting. Almost not thinking about it. Almost not thinking. Because that's the church life. Okay. Maybe after some time, there's a little thought. Oh, it's Tuesday night. It's quite legitimate. I'm going home. And it's so easy to skip the meeting. Oh, there should be an alarm. Something happened. Something changed. How come before? How come before? I just always end up at the meeting. It's almost like my car just goes to the meeting. How do I end up in the meeting? I even thought about not coming. I think I decided sometimes not to go. But I'm in the parking lot of the meeting hall. May as well go in. When you go in, you get energized. Amen. You feel life is so meaningful. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. But suppose you skip one. Then the following week, oh, work overtime. And you can't go. Oh, but there's not much feeling about it. Saints, it's very possible within 2 weeks, the reality of the church life is gone. Where did it start? It started not paying attention to the flow of life. Something interrupted the flow. But saints, it's so easy to recover the flow of life. It's so easy to recover. And we'll see that in this lesson, in this message. Just confess. Actually, to confess our sins, is not only to confess, it's also to drink. It's also to drink. That's what happened to that Samaritan woman. She confessed her sins and took a drink of the Lord Jesus all at one time. That can be our experience. We can recover the flow. And then here, in this point, at the very end of the line, it says, this flowing one must have the preeminence within us. Of course, this is taken, the cross-reference in this string of verses here is Ezekiel 47:1, and we take that from this picture in the Old Testament that the temple, on the south side of the temple, and you have to realize that the temple faced east, always faced east. So the south side of the temple is the right side, not the left side. Of the temple. And so the river went along the right side of the temple. And the right side is the side of preeminence. So in type, in picture, that means this flow must have the preeminence in our church life. The top place is the flow. The top place is the flow. Saints, when we don't give that little flowing the preeminence, oh, the Lord doesn't get the glory. Actually, we lose his presence and we lose reality. We lose reality. Saints, with some of us, maybe passing through a kind of crisis, even at this time, it's very possible, this crisis could be resolved tonight. By what? Just coming back to pay attention to this flow of life. Lord, Lord, what are you seeking? Maybe some of us are struggling with the Lord over things. You know, the Christian journey is a journey laced with interactions with the Lord. Sometimes discrepancies with the Lord. Little fightings with the Lord. The more interaction we have with Him, the more we give in to the flow. We say amen to the flow. Oh, I tell you, the picture in Ezekiel, I think many of us are familiar with that. The flow deepens. When He wins, He measures us, and the flow deepens. There's a deeper flow of life. Like the hymn that we sang, 1191. Oh Lord, deepen the pure flow of life. Oh, when I was 12, when I was 14, I enjoyed the flow of life. But I have to admit, when I look back now, it was a trickle. But I tell you, that trickle accomplished a lot. Because that's where I was at in my human life, in my Christian life. But transaction by transaction with the Lord, what happens? The flow deepens. The flow deepens. Oh, saints, I hope we can have some interaction with the Lord, and he would enlighten us. You know, that flow in Revelation 22, it says, bright as crystal. Bright as crystal. The flow brings light. The flow brings light. Maybe we're struggling with the Lord. We don't know, Lord, what are you after? Just enjoy the flow. You'll have the light. The Lord will enlighten us inwardly to know what we should do and where we should go. I hope we would have the grace to give the flow the preeminence. Okay, point B. Fellowship is the flowing triune God. The Father is the fountain of life, the Son is the spring of life, and the Spirit is the river of life. This flowing issues in the totality of eternal life, the New Jerusalem. Fellowship is the imparting of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, into the believers as their unique portion and blessing for them to enjoy today and for eternity. D. Fellowship indicates, okay, here is another, introducing another point, another angle. Fellowship indicates a putting away of private interests and a joining with others for a certain common purpose. Hence, to be in the divine fellowship is to put aside our private interests and join with the apostles and the triune God for the carrying out of God's purpose. Okay, here we have Acts 2:42, and it talks about at the beginning, the first day of the church life. We talked about the day of Pentecost in our afternoon session today. This is later in that same chapter when the 3,000 were saved. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the teaching and the fellowship of the apostles, in the breaking of bread and the prayers. Saints, what is that? That's the church life. Actually, that day, they all entered into the fellowship. Here we have 1 John 1:3. Actually, probably we should have read this before. 1 John 1:3, that which we have seen and heard, we report also to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So John is saying here that he and the apostles, they were having fellowship with the triune God. They were brought into the fellowship with the Father and with His Son. Then, as they're in this fellowship, they reported the fellowship to us. That's through the epistle. John was writing to the believers. In writing to the believers, he's reporting this fellowship and it's saying that you also may have fellowship with us. So by our reading this, by our receiving this. We were brought into this fellowship. So now it's two ways. Later on we'll see. This is an interwoven fellowship. It's a vertical fellowship and a horizontal fellowship. Saints, right now we should be all like this. I believe we are. The Lord is moving, and there's something happening this way too. Something happening. Just consider, you know the hymn that we sang, Lord, I treasure the sweet flow of life. Actually, if we had the time, I would have had us to alternate sisters and brothers for another 10 minutes. Wasn't that singing just delightful? It was just heavenly. And so, but just consider, suppose you were the only one in the room and you sang that chorus. Would it have been as rich as when we're all together, maybe 500 of us plus? Isn't there something when we're together with the saints? Even when you're in a group meeting in someone's living room and singing together, there's something that's richer than when you sing alone. Now, I encourage all of us, you should sing alone. It's good to sing by ourselves with the Lord and have that fellowship. We need that. Even I pointed out, the corporate fellowship depends on the personal fellowship. But let me ask you, isn't there something when you come together with a small group of saints, with a larger group of saints, with the largest group of saints, and you're enjoying the Lord together, the flow is intensified. What is that? That is, we are brought into the fellowship of the body of Christ. We don't realize it, but actually, we're all being built together. We're all being built together when we're in this fellowship. Oh, saints, this fellowship accomplishes many, many things. And here specifically, it talks about putting away private interests and joining with others for a common purpose. Saints, God has His purpose. One day, He called us into the fellowship of His Son. I believe we have joined this triune God for His purpose. We've joined Him for His purpose, for His interest. There are times, maybe we're having fellowship with some brothers, and we're saying something, we said something, and something touched my heart. Something touched my heart. That comment was self-serving. That comment I just made. I said it, it was the Lord's work, but somewhat, I said it to get some little glory, a little recognition from the brothers. And right away, the flow says, that's your interest. That's not my interest. The Lord flows this way. Sometimes, even unconsciously, we say things to draw attention to ourselves. To see, display what I did. You know, we it's good to have fellowship. And it's good even sometimes when the saints get together, the churches come together, or the leading brothers come together, the full-time serving ones come together, and we encourage one another. And always, we have some kind of reporting. But be careful. Be careful. Sometimes, because we're still in the natural man, certain report, they got so many new ones, this is happening there, and there's a little something in us. And so when we report, we say a couple of extra things. It could even be unconscious that we did that, but it draws attention, or there's rivalry. So saints, we have to be careful. We have to be careful not to have self-interest, but everything for the Lord's common interest of the building of the body. But that comes out of the fellowship. Just follow the fellowship. And I would say, to practice what we talked, especially last night, just pause 2 or 3 seconds to pay attention to the flow of life. The flow of life within us may say, don't say it. Or the flow may say, don't say that. or don't say it that way. A little interaction. Oh, I tell you, what happens when we stop and pay attention to the inner flow? Eventually, not only the flow is on the right side, we give preeminence, the flow is to the east. That's in the picture. That's in Ezekiel. What does that mean? The flow brings the glory to God. All the glory is for the Lord. Amen. All the glory is for the Lord. No hidden self-seeking and no hidden self-glory. Let us pay attention to the sweet flow of life. Okay, continuing. Are we up to E? Yes. Fellowship comes from teaching. If we teach wrongly and differently from the apostles' teaching, the teaching of God's economy, our teaching will produce a sectarian, divisive fellowship. In F, 1 John, now this is a kind of summary of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. 1 John reveals the principles of the divine fellowship. 2nd John reveals that we must have no fellowship with those who deny Christ. And 3rd John reveals that we should stay in the one fellowship of God's family by sending forward those who travel for the gospel and the ministry of the word in a manner worthy of God and by not loving to be first in the church. Of course, that thing at the end is related to that person. Is it Diotrephes? Diotrephes in 3 John. He wanted to have the preeminent place in the church. Can you imagine such a thing could happen in the church life? Someone wanting to be more than others. Surely, surely, such a one does not pay attention to the flow of life. Okay, Romans 2. Let's read this together. Romans 2. The fellowship of the eternal life is in the reality of living in the body of Christ, in the oneness of the Spirit, one God, indivisible. Amen. We enter into the vertical aspect, I mentioned this earlier, into the vertical aspect of the divine fellowship by the divine Spirit, the Holy Spirit. This aspect of fellowship refers to our fellowship with the triune God in our loving Him. So that's the vertical aspect, our fellowship with the triune God. B, we enter into the horizontal aspect of the divine fellowship by the human Spirit. This aspect of fellowship refers to our fellowship with one another by the exercise of our Spirit in our loving one another. And then I'm going to come back to this, but C says, the one divine fellowship is an interwoven fellowship. The horizontal fellowship is is interwoven with the vertical fellowship. So, saints, a good illustration, maybe two, of this matter of fellowship is just these lights in this room. And the flow of electricity. I don't know where, for this building, where the power plant actually is. It could be miles and miles away. Miles away. So there's somewhere where there's a generator. And electricity is there. And now we're in here. And we need electricity. So someone goes to some switch. I don't even know where they are. And it's just so simple. And instantly, we're connected to the generator. I mean, it could be a couple hundred miles away, but we're not only connected to the generator, every bulb is connected to one another. And there's something moving. We don't appreciate it. We don't see it. We don't feel it. We don't touch it. Don't touch it. But there's something flowing. And in the back there in the corner, That lamp over there is having fellowship with this lamp over here. Saints, in reality, that's ushering brother in the corner is having fellowship with this brother in the corner over here. If they both are paying attention to the flow of life. Amen. I don't know. If you look up, saints, is there any bulb out? Can you look up? Is there a bulb? Where? Oh, right here. How sovereign. Thank you. The brothers found it right away. I didn't notice this before. Oh, Lucy, Jesse, that's your section. Oh, I'm so sorry. It's very possible. Does this never happen to you? You're in the meeting, but you're not in the fellowship. Did this never happen to you? You know one reason? Anxiety. We talked about last night and this morning. It could be you're in the meeting, you're trying. You're really trying. Oh, dear pleasure, the sweet flow of life. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's pray. And it's good when we pray. Oh, Lord, bless the meeting. Okay. Amen. Okay, now the word. Oh, my bills. How am I going to pay that? I can't believe it. My boiler broke. And my car. How can they both break at the same time? Oh, Lord Jesus, don't you love me anymore? And we're sitting there. And we're just like that. All the bulbs are on. But you know, that bulb not only doesn't have fellowship with the generator, the bulb doesn't have fellowship with the other bulbs either. Saints, there is a flow in the church. There's a flow in the church. When we pay attention to the flow, we're in the reality of the body of Christ. We're in the reality of the body of Christ. We all have a responsibility to make sure there's no insulation. No insulation. You know, I don't know what the problem here is. Maybe it's a bad bulb, but it could also be in the wires. There's just something small. Interrupt. It could be the smallest thing, the smallest insulation. This flow within us is so sensitive. It could be, saints, a thought. We had a thought about a sister or a brother. A thought. Just one negative thought. It could be, there's that brother that offended me 17 years ago. Oh, no, no, this is, I'm saying this with this is some kind of a testimony, actually. There was a brother, took me 18 years to forgive him. The Lord had to work something in me. The Lord worked something in me. There was a struggle. I see him. Always remember. And then I knew I was never going to get an apology because he didn't know he offended me. I mean, right now I could like describe the whole story to you. I'm not going to. I really forgot. I mean, in a good sense, I did. But it happened there. And, 18 years later, eventually, the Lord broke something in me. The Lord shined in me something. The Lord shined in me something. Actually, it's through a verse. The Lord used a verse. I can tell you the verse. It's James 2:13. Could you open just to confirm? James, the judgment is without mercy to him who shows no mercy. Is this the right? Let me know, make sure it's the right reference. James 2, yes? Yes. Yeah. The judgment is without mercy to him who shows no mercy. So, Brother Nee, Brother Nee has a lesson. Actually, you can find probably 5 messages on this topic, 5 kinds of forgiveness. Is it 5 or 6? At least 5 kinds of forgiveness. 5 kinds of forgiveness. And we were going over this message in a fellowship with some brothers. And I read that. And I came to this verse. When I read that, the Lord spoke to me. You have to forgive that brother. The flow brought the supply finally. But saints, it could be something we've been holding on to, an unforgiven offense causes us to be that. After the meeting, this one says, I enjoyed the meeting. And I'm thinking, were we in the same meeting? I didn't think it was that good. I thought the brother was a little boring tonight, or this or that. And one thought, one sin, an unconfessed sin, one disobedience. But saints, thank the Lord. 1 John, we're talking 1 John. If we confess our sins, that's what he says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. He forgives us our sins. That's in the heavenly account before him. He forgives. And to cleanse us, he cleanses us. He cleanses our conscience. He cleanses the stain away. Praise the Lord. Amen. Then what? Fellowship. Amen. The fellowship is restored. Amen. That's the current of electricity. Another very good example we find very often in the ministry publications for this matter is the circulation of the blood. The circulation of the blood. You know, our blood is flowing. There's a flow. That blood, that life of the body actually connects all the members. Connects all the members. If perchance, we cut off a member, if a member is detached from the body, oh, I tell you, not only is that member no longer linked to the head, it's also not connected with the fellowship in the body. You lose both at the same time. You lose both at the same time. Saints, may we guard the flow of life. Pay attention to the flow of life. Continuing in C1, the initial experience of the apostles was the vertical fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. But when the apostles reported the eternal life to others, they experienced the horizontal aspect of the divine fellowship. Our horizontal fellowship with the saints brings us into vertical fellowship with the Lord. Then our vertical fellowship with the Lord brings us into horizontal fellowship with the saints. Which comes first? Vertical, you say? Or horizontal? It's hard to say. You know, for most of us, though, it started vertical. No, sorry, horizontal. Because someone spoke to us. Someone spoke to us, the gospel. So they were in fellowship. They were in the vertical fellowship. Maybe they were also in horizontal fellowship. And then they reached out and preached the gospel. And then the flow came to me. In my case, it was my older sister. But as soon as I opened my heart, I entered into, without realizing, the fellowship of the body of Christ. I entered into a fellowship not only with the triune God, but with all the members of the body. Then, saints, as soon as I enter into the fellowship of the body, I also myself have a connection with the head. Just like all our members, actually, not only are connected because of the blood, there's a nervous system in our body. All the members in a healthy body are connected with the head. I just did like this without really thinking about it. But my head told my hand, hey, move up, point, but not that complicated. Very smooth. Actually, I'm told I talk with my hands. It'd be very difficult for me to give a message this way. Yes. I also walk a lot. Anyway, sorry. That's my body. My head is telling my body even without realizing. All our members are connected with the head. To maintain the fellowship, saints, we all need the vertical fellowship. We all need the vertical fellowship. Some of us were around some years ago when we had a situation in North America, a kind of a turmoil, and caused quite some damage to the churches in the Lord's recovery, both on the East Coast and the West Coast. And there was a certain man. It was just like what it says in Acts 20. I think I mentioned this earlier. Paul says to the Ephesian believers there at Miletus, the last time he's going to see them, it's very sweet, tender. He tells them, you remember, I was with you night and day, 3 years. I did not withhold any of the counsel of God. It was, and then he says, you will see my face no longer. It was very, very intimate talk. And they're weeping. And then he says, after my departure, some will come in. Wolves in the sheep, in the clothing of sheep. And then even from among you, some will rise up to draw away some after themselves. I couldn't believe that happened among us. And why could it happen so easily? Why could it happen so easily? We discovered this. When I look back on certain factors to study, we should study the history so we don't repeat the history. You know, during those times, I remember, of course, I was a college student. I was a college student. but I realized our dear brother Lee, Brother Witness Lee, he never brought this matter up in public. It's very interesting. He never exposed that person in public. You know what he did? He traveled the country that year. I'm talking about circa 1978. About 1978. He traveled around the country. He came to Washington, D.C. He came to New York City. He came to Boston. He came to Atlanta and Miami. He visited nearly every locality in North America. Just personal visits with a little ministry. Of course, wherever he would go, the brothers would ask him to say something. You can find those messages under this title. It's in, I don't know what volume, but you, of course you can find it in the collected works of Witness Lee, 1978. But it's a book, a standalone book, called Life Messages. Life Messages. Not life study, just life messages. And during that period of time, when I paid attention, studied a little bit, I know that in the conferences I participated in, very often he talked about abiding in the Lord. So he was talking about the vertical fellowship. But of course, if you're abiding in the vine, you're not only connected, right, to the vine tree, you're connected to all the other branches, right? Okay. But in practice, I just recall this, he emphasized three things in a number of places. At least I know in the conferences I participated in. Very interesting. What three things? One, read your Bible. Read your Bible. The elders, I don't think, often tell the saints, read your Bible. We tell the young people, almost every conference, read your Bible, because we want them to develop the habit. But our brother in the general conferences, read your Bible, read every day. And he talked about read 3 chapters in the old, 1 in the new, and so on, have the habit, and all that. I was in corporate living at the time. I still remember 4 brothers living with a couple, and we decided we're going to read the Bible together. I don't know if any of us had ever finished reading through the whole Bible by that time. That was still part of my first time reading through the Bible. And so what we decided to do was we will read the New Testament in first, four chapters a day. It took us about 3 months, maybe less. And so we did that together. But we didn't sit and read together. What we decided was, okay, you know, there are 28 chapters in Matthew, 28. So that's very neat because 7 days, four chapters. That's 28 chapters, 1 week. So you read, I read, and then I think on Wednesday or Thursday, we always had dinner together. And inevitably, we would talk about what chapters we were in. Of course, if I know, we're going to have dinner together, and I'm behind, I would always catch up on Tuesday and Wednesday morning. I would always catch up. So actually, it's a good incentive to have some accountability with someone. So we'd read, have good fellowship. Anyway, that really helped me in my first reading of the whole Bible. So Brother Lee said, read your Bible. Okay, number two, he told us, confess your sins. Confess your sins. Just like what we're talking here. 1 John, confess your sins. You know, number three, have personal morning watch. We didn't have the term morning revival at that time. Personal morning watch. I was in a meeting, I still remember. This was in Anaheim. I was living in Irvine at the time, Southern California. And Brother Lee did something I had not seen him do before. And you can find this in these messages. And that is Q&A. He'd have questions and answers. And so in that meeting, this was in the Ball Road Meeting Hall in Anaheim. And so someone stood up and said, Brother Lee, you encourage us to have personal morning watch. But in my church, we have corporate morning watch in various homes at like 6 or 6:30 in the morning. Actually, when I was in high school, that's what we used to do in New York. And we'd go and have corporate morning watch and then go to school and work, you know, after that. So this brother says, Brother Lee, my job, I need to leave for work at 6:30. And I don't think it's practical for me to have time for both personal and corporate. What should I do? You can find this in the books. Brother Lee answered this question. He just gave this little interesting example. He said, if for your class in your school, you only have money to buy either the textbook or the reference books, which one should you buy? So of course, the textbook. He says, personal morning watch is the textbook. Yeah. So which means it's more important than corporate. Okay, now I come back. Three things Brother Lee told us to practice. One, remember, do you remember? Read the Bible. I feel like I'm in a junior high conference. Okay. Number two, confess your sins. Number three, personal morning. Do you see this? Personal, personal, personal. At that time, Brother Ralph, you remember. Our church life was so dynamic, so hot. It was the greatest place on earth. It was wonderful. We were together in New York for a period of time. We actually moved to California around the same time. I ended up in Irvine. They ended up in Fullerton. Oh, the church life was wonderful. But you know what? Very corporate. Very corporate. And some of the saints, the only time they opened the Bible was with the saints. The only time they sang was with the saints. That's not normal. It's good to have a wonderful church life. It's good to be even busy in the church life. Occupied in a positive way. But I tell you, it must be balanced by a personal life with the Lord. We must have the vertical fellowship, not just the horizontal. If you have the horizontal church life, it's very possible eventually you have a superficial church life and a superficial Christian life. We all have to have the personal times with the Lord. And then eventually that flows to the corporate body. Amen. Okay, brothers, help me here. Where am I now? Three? See, three. We must maintain both the vertical and horizontal aspects of the divine fellowship in order to be healthy spiritually. What I just shared shows this. D, the divine fellowship is everything in the Christian life. When fellowship disappears, God also disappears. God comes as the fellowship. In this divine fellowship, God is interwoven with us. This interweaving is the mingling of God and man to bring the divine constituent into our spiritual being for our growth and transformation in life. You know, growth and transformation. For transformation, a very good illustration is petrified wood. Many of us have heard this example. You know, a piece of wood ends up underwater. But, you know, if a piece of wood falls into a lake, it's not going to be petrified. There has to be moving water, flowing water. And over time, it's amazing. It's over time. The minerals in the water, they come in and lodge into the wood to push out something of the wood. Eventually, not just on the exterior, but all the way through. It's really incredible. And that's a good picture of transformation. Transformation is not an outward change. Transformation is the result of the flow of life. And over time, something of him flows in and something of me flows out. You know, we have this hymn, what I never could do, God is doing in me. Do you know this hymn? By saying amen to his word. Actually, I was thinking today, we could write a new song. What I never could do, God is doing in me by saying amen to the flow. By saying amen to this fellowship. I think many of us can give testimonies. There were things that our heart was drawn to when we were younger. Maybe we knew that's competing with the Lord. I know that's competing with the Lord. But if we're honest, we have to say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. I can't do it, Lord. Sometimes we try, and then 2 weeks later, we go back. How did we overcome? When we look back, we even wonder, whoa, I even forgot that I used to love that thing. What happened? Who did that to us? The flow did that to us. By flowing in something. By flowing in. It's never by demanding and taking away first. It's always by flowing in first. Something has to flow in first to replace, to dislodge whatever it is we're holding on to. Thank the Lord for the flow of life. And three says, the divine fellowship blends us, tempers us, adjusts us, harmonizes us, and mingles us together into one body. Saints, the flow is the reality of the body of Christ. May we be those who pay attention to the flow of life, who take heed to our spirit. You know, we touched this verse in the afternoon session. Malachi 2:15, take heed to your spirit. Take heed to your spirit. Saints, may we have such a sensitive consciousness to the flow of life, the fellowship of life in our inner being. Amen. This will preserve us. This will take us to the consummation. I think that's enough for tonight. We'll complete this tomorrow. How about we end by singing 1191 one more time. 11, maybe two times. 1191. Lord, I treasure the sweet flow of life. Amen.